I hope that by now you've found 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where we've been walking through this first portion where the Apostle Paul is addressing division in the church. And he's addressing it because the issue of the day is that the Corinthian church is divided over who is more spiritual, more important, because of which minister that they're affiliated and associated with. Some people were saying, hey, Paul baptized me, or Apollos baptized me, or Peter baptized me, or I sit under Paul's teaching, or I sit under Apollos' teaching, or I sit under Peter's teaching. And they were using that as a status symbol, that they were, by affiliation with this person, more spiritual than someone else. And they were comparing themselves to one another. And Paul said, you guys are dividing over something that doesn't matter. And so he begins to talk to them about who is Paul, who is Apollos. We're just servants of God. He begins to offer correction to the church in Corinth over this issue. And we live in a time where people are skeptical over just about everything. And AI has not helped in the least bit. There are a lot of us, myself included, that sometimes still doesn't know if it's AI or not, but somehow my kids always know if it's AI. I'll be like, oh, check this out. And they're like, Dad, that's AI. You know that's not real, right? And I'm like, how do you know? I'm getting better at being able to figure out if it's real or not. But man, a few of them look really, really good, and it's confusing. And so it's like, what do we trust? We don't trust the media. We don't trust the news, because I have to, like, find the truth somewhere in between all the bias. We don't trust corporations, because we've seen scandal after scandal, and people who are just out for themselves and out to make a name for themselves or just try to increase their profit margin. So if you say you care, or if you say you're about this initiative or this cause or that cause, I don't trust you, because I've seen too many scams. I've seen too many things just go the wrong way. I've seen too much abuse. I've seen this also, unfortunately, in the church, where sometimes we don't trust the church. And we become skeptical of church leaders and of anything around organizing around the name of Jesus. It's because we've seen these things happen in a way where people prioritize image over integrity. And that seems to be what matters most, is how it looks or how it appears. And people are more concerned with image management than they are with being honest, than they are with being truthful, than they are with being people of honesty and integrity. And the body of Christ is supposed to be a place that champions integrity, that champions authenticity, that allows for vulnerability and accountability, and for truth to be spoken, and for trust to be at a very high level because of the one that we represent. And not just here within the context of the local church gathering, but the same is true of our workplaces, the schools that we attend, our neighborhoods, our family dynamic, our friendship dynamic, the idea of us being in the marketplace, that we should be people who are setting the standard and setting the tone for being men and women of integrity and character, because we understand that we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and we carry ourselves with such integrity because of Christ. And it is Christ who has made us those types of people. And so we should be worthy of trust, or trustworthy. And we need to also be people who are growing in our ability to rebuild and repair trust where it's been broken as well. And so Paul shows here what healthy leadership looks like. And he shows us how the gospel creates faithful servants who live transparent and trustworthy lives before God and man. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 4 with that in mind and read these first few verses. He says, this is how one should regard us. And the us he's referring to is himself, Apollos, and Peter, the three that he's mentioned previously in the text. He's saying that you're trying to gain some sort of stature by affiliation with us. This is actually how you should look at us, as servants of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord who comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from the Lord. So here Paul is telling the church in Corinth that, listen, what's done in darkness is going to be brought to the light. And when what is done in darkness is brought to the light, church, can I tell you? Thank God for it. Thank God when things that we've been trying to hide and cover and tried to maintain an image, that when those things crumble and the truth is actually revealed, thank God for it. Thank God when the fact that maybe you've been caught in some sort of triangulation of lying to prop up some sort of story where you couldn't remember the details of this and that, and all of a sudden you get caught in that. Thank God for that. It is the mercy of God that is taking what was done in darkness that was actually causing damage, that was maybe us viewing as an opportunity or a way for us to manage perception or to manage a certain narrative, that when that comes to light, we actually go, thank you, God, that you've exposed that, because it's for your good and it's for his glory that that thing that you were trying to manage has been exposed. Thank God when your addiction to pornography is exposed so that you can actually walk in true freedom where you love Christ more than you love porn, more than you love gratifying your flesh. Thank God when those things are exposed. It is the mercy of God that exposes those things. And it is the pride of man and the selfishness of man that wants to hide those things. The mercy of God brings those things that are done in darkness to the light. It is the mercy of God that would expose the fact that you've been kind of skimming off the top at your place of work, or that you haven't been truthful with your reports at work, or that you've been leaving earlier but really saying that you left at a certain time. All of those things, when you get caught in that and it gets exposed, thank God for it. Because may it cause and work in you and I repentance of our sin against our fellow man and against God, that we would be called higher as people of integrity. He doesn't expose it to shame us. He exposes it so that we can walk in the freedom that Christ has already bought and paid for on the cross. It is the integrity that all of a sudden now gets raised when I am repentant of things that were done in darkness that get exposed and brought to the light. But if I try to go into PR management mode and all of a sudden I try to cover it all and excuse it all and justify it all and smooth talk my way out of it, I'm only further trying to dig into the problem that God has already freed me from, and he's trying to help me to walk in a greater awareness of the freedom that Jesus has already bought and paid for on the cross. I don't want to be tethered to that junk. So when those things get exposed, thank God for it. It is his love and mercy that does that, because healthy leaders don't hide behind image. They live in the light. Healthy leaders love the light. They love accountability. They love truth being spoken to them, not just they themselves being people who speak truth, but truth being spoken to them because God uses it in a way that helps refine and sharpen and help us to better reflect the image of Christ as men and women of integrity who are living in this world, setting a high standard of what it means to be a man or woman of integrity who is serving and doing everything they do as unto the Lord. Paul said that it is a spiritual leader's goal to be found faithful as a steward. That's what he said. He said, when you think about us, don't think about who has the most followers on social media, who has the most subscribers. Don't think about who attracts the largest crowd. That's not what makes one important or makes one matter, or how people can love to be associated with you. No, no, no. He said, what matters in a spiritual leader is that they would be found faithful and seen as a steward. And that just doesn't go for pastors and elders That goes for men leading their homes. That goes for business owners. That goes for you as someone who has responsibility to steward the lives of children and grandchildren. That goes for anyone who has a bank account, anyone who pays taxes, to do so faithfully, to steward with integrity because you're doing it before the Lord. And when you do it as unto the Lord, your heart is tuned to Him. And He's the one that you're seeking to please. And your job is to be found faithful as a steward. That's true in the church just as much as it's true of us in every area of our lives. Because we will all give account to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who judges. Yes, we thank Him for His mercy, but He's also the great judge as well. We must remember this. A steward recognizes something, that they're not the owner. They manage what belongs to someone else. This church, the children that I have, the home that I may own, they all belong to the Lord. The job that I have, I had better recognize that I am a steward, lest I become prideful, thinking somehow I acquired and did this in my own strength. Because Jesus says in John 15 and 5, He says, abide in Me and I in you. He said, because apart from Me, you can do nothing. And the Greek word nothing means nothing. That's deep. And the reason is because God doesn't call you to be impressive. He never calls anybody to be impressive. He calls us to be faithful, amen? Let's keep reading in verse 6. He says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we've become a spectacle to this world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak. You're strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and we thirst. We're poorly dressed. We're buffeted. We're homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. That's not going to be a long sign-up sheet for being an apostle. What Paul is telling them is, listen, guys, you think you're so great by being associated with us. Here's actually how we are to even view ourselves in this level of humility. You think being affiliated with us makes you so special. But I'm telling you, here's how we actually are. He's displaying the humanity that all of these men have. And saying, listen, we're not perfect. We struggle. We have needs just like you do. We're struggling in the same ways, but yet our hope is set on Christ, because the idea of total depravity levelizes the playing field, and it reminds us and shows us and exposes that all of us, no matter what your background is, no matter how you grew up, no matter how much money you grew up with, no matter what has happened to you, all of us are on the same equal level playing field apart from Christ. Hopeless in our sin. But also because of Christ, we are all seen as equal, forgiven, loved, adopted, restored, redeemed because of Jesus. Amen? And it is a very proud thing for us to try to compare ourselves to see who's better at this thing than the other. Like, I'm going to out-church you. I'm like out spiritual you. I'm going to out Jesus you. You know, like I'm going to be more spiritual. God's going to love me more than you. That's not how it works. He's not a respecter of persons. And that's pride at the core. Because I'll tell you that every single time you have seen a spiritual leader fall, every single time that you have seen a marriage destroyed, every single time that you have seen sin creep in and take hold of someone's heart, every single time that you have seen some corporate CEO who has now been caught in some great crazy scandal, it's all gone back to the root and the idea of pride. Because pride, it destroys trust. Humility rebuilds it, but pride destroys trust. Because pride begins to work in the hearts of people where they begin to think of themselves more highly than they should. They begin to think that they're untouchable and that people around them begin to insulate them, make excuses for them, protect them, because they become too big to fall, because it would be too embarrassing if people knew the truth. It would be too much damage control that would need to be done if people knew the truth. So then people work very hard to protect people who have already shown that they're arrogant, prideful, and that are abusing their positions and their power. That can be in a church, that can be in a corporation, that can be in government, that can be in a home. It's pride. It destroys trust. So if trust has been destroyed in your life, it's because at some point someone was too proud, and it may have been you. I know in my life it's been me. I know that pride has broken trust where I've fallen, where I've messed up. And I've made mistakes. And the only thing that can rebuild it is humility. Because humility is less of me. Me decreasing. Me recognizing that it's not about me. The Corinthians, they thought spiritual maturity looked like status, power, recognition, influence. They wanted polished Christianity without weakness or suffering or sacrifice. But Paul points to these men, Peter, Apollos, and himself, and he says, hey, we're hungry, dishonored, rejected, mocked, but yet we still keep serving Jesus. The Corinthians wanted celebrity Christianity, but Paul showed them authentic Christianity. The gospel is the great equalizer because it destroys comparison, because the cross reminds us that we contribute nothing to our salvation except the sin that made it necessary, that it's Jesus' victory that we get to share in, that it's Christ's victory that he has invited us into. And that is only by his grace that we get to share in it, not by any works we did so we could boast in it. Amen? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But when image becomes more important than integrity, trust always dies. That's true in all relationships. It's true in churches. It's true in marriages. It's true in friendships. It's true in leadership. But what the gospel does is it frees us from pretending and it frees us from comparing, because it levelizes the playing field and helps us to see ourselves, see our need, and see the sufficiency of Christ. Let's keep reading, verse 14. He says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I'll come to you soon if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Here Paul says, hey, you have a lot of guides. You may have some coaches, but you don't have many fathers. And so he's helping to clarify what he's just shared with them, that I'm doing this because I love you as a father would love a son. This is why I sent Timothy to you, because he's like a son to me in the faith, and I sent him to you because I love him and I love you the same way, and I want you to learn the things I've learned in Christ. I want you to understand the things that I've learned and how to follow Christ. and I'm loving you in this way, not to exert some kind of power over you, as if I had power to exert, not so that I could somehow lord over you. He's saying, but instead, I'm coming to you like a father would a son. And I'm wanting to come to you in humility to love you. Would you rather me come to you with a rod or with a spirit of gentleness, he's saying. But he's saying, I'm correcting you because I love you. Healthy correction flows from relational love, not from ego. If you've ever been corrected by someone that it was about them like flexing their power and exerting their power over you, it probably ended really poorly to where there were wounds that possibly even still exist today. Leaders do this, bosses do this, husbands can do this, pastors do this. And as I reflect back on 26 years of vocational ministry, I know there have been times where I have misused and misappropriated my position and authority. I have to repent to God and to those that I've wounded for that. Because I don't want to be that type of person. I don't want to be that type of man. I want to be someone who's being sharpened by love and truth, someone that is around people who will speak faithfully, even though it may sting. I want to be around people who are helping me to grow in Christ's likeness and godliness, because as Christ followers, we should lean into and want accountability. First service didn't amen at that point either. I thought second hour is going to be with me. As Christ followers, we should lean into and we should love accountability. There you are. I didn't know if you were looking for like a cinnamon disc or a butterscotch. Those are good. Some gum. The church should be one of the safest places on planet Earth to tell the truth, because the gospel already tells the truth about us. In the same way, the church should be filled with the most love, where we truly want more for one another than we want from one another. That's how we become the most loving people in the most loving place in the Quad Cities, because we are loving God first and foremost above all else, and then we're loving our neighbor as ourselves, and we're being known, as John 13:35, Jesus said, you'll know my disciples because they're going to have love one for another. And we don't skirt around things. We don't sweep it under the rug. But we're not mean and harsh and egotistical about it either, and having to get our way and pretentious about it and arrogant with it. But we can still speak the truth in love because we know we want more for one another than from one another. I thank God for Pastor Evan, who was just up here earlier. He's our executive pastor here at Bridge Cities, if you don't know him. Evan and I have been serving here at BCC for 5 years together. He's been here for 7. So he was a part of the crew that I inherited when I came on. And he and I have been through a lot of ups and downs here at BCC together in that short time. And it's bonded us together in a very special and unique way, because he and I have that love for one another where we want more for one another than from one another. And so Evan and I, when we have discussions, we may do like ninja kung fu, you know, in my office, and people may wonder what's going on, but we hug it out afterwards, you know, and we love each other because we're for each other. And we have an unspoken rule between the two of us that nothing is off limits to say and nothing gets unsaid before we part company, because we're just that honest with one another, because we care about one another that much, that we are honest and that we hold one another to a high standard. And he's called me out on things. I've called him out on things. He asks a lot of questions. I just like to do stuff, and he likes to ask questions. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter why. Let's just do it. It's a great idea. And he's like, well, why this and why that? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Let's just get excited, get passionate, go do it. We'll figure it out later. And sometimes his questions have actually slowed me down, and it's helped me. And sometimes my passion and my ability to help bring him along has helped him to not stay behind, but get more on board with things quicker. And he and I sharpen each other in that way. And even personally, not just ministry here at Bridge Cities, personally, there have been integrity issues, and you said this, but you did this, or you said you were going to do this, but you didn't do this. And even personal issues where we've even called one another and held one another to account on that. I thank God for a brother like that. Amen. Who is that to you in your life? Who do you have in your life that's nothing is left unsaid, but you love each other and that you're for one another? I look forward to a long vocational ministry career with Evan Scheckler because of the type of integrity that he walks with and lives with. We're foxhole buddies. We've been through some things, and we live to tell the tale. And we're for each other, but we don't let one another get away with stuff either. I thank God for a man like that in my life. I have several others in my life that would fit that in different spaces and areas of my life. I thank God for them. Who do you have in your life? Because we need that. Because, listen, we have to live above reproach. We have to live above the appearance of evil. People trust what they can inspect, right? So are we being vulnerable? Are we being transparent? Or are we trying to hide? Because healthy churches grow where hiddenness dies. Healthy marriages grow where hiddenness dies. Healthy friendships grow where hiddenness dies. Healthy friendships grow where hiddenness dies. Healthy companies grow, are you catching this? Where hiddenness dies. Here's the big idea. The gospel creates trustworthy people. Mic drop. Really? That's as deep as you're going today. It shouldn't be hard, but it is because we make it hard, because pride gets in the way. The gospel creates trustworthy people, because as I lean into the gospel of Jesus Christ, I recognize that I have to be a person who's telling the truth, because the gospel tells the truth about who I am without Christ. And the gospel tells me the truth about who I am with Christ. So that way, man's opinion doesn't define me. Christ defines me. Even your own opinion of you doesn't define you. Christ defines you. That is freedom, my friend. Freedom from being a slave to comparison. Freedom from pride that would cause you to hide, that would cause you to live in shame, that would cause you live bound to some false persona instead of who you truly are in Christ. Because the gospel is not an invitation to perform. The gospel is an invitation to surrender. The gospel is an invitation for you to come and take up your cross and follow him. So where are you hiding right now? What part of your life are you managing instead of surrendering? Maybe for some of us, this message isn't about leadership or trusting a public person. Maybe it's more about your own private integrity. Because eventually what is done in darkness will always impact what is visible. Maybe God's calling you today to step into the light, because there was no pretending at the cross. No image management, no performance. Only mercy, only sacrifice, only grace. And so we're going to receive communion together. And as we do, may it remind us that his body was broken for us, that his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And because Jesus already knows us fully, and we no longer have to live falsely. So before you receive communion, ask, Holy Spirit, am I living honestly before God? Am I hiding something that needs to come into the light? Whose approval matters most in my life? Perhaps today is the day where you take a step in the direction of healing from where a spiritual leader or someone in a position of authority wounded you, hurt you. Maybe they made a mistake, or maybe their ego got in the way. Maybe it's even someone here. Maybe it's even me. need to walk in that humility and examine our hearts and reconcile relationships and learn to walk in unity and trust in the Lord and let that love spill out into our relationships. No one here at Bridge City Church has to walk in unresolved baggage, because you can leave it at the cross.